Hey, yo, what up, our peoples? Welcome to another session, another episode of Ya Estás Podcast. We got a fire one today, yo.
Fire.
Right.
Hey, we need that.
I know, right?
For this one.
Because this one, man, yo, we're going to talk to a solid, solid brother, man. We're going to talk a lot about music and a lot about what goes behind the scenes, man. So, how you been, bro?
Bro, I've been good. Can I say one thing, though?
Yeah.
Bro, when I met you, super humble, bro.
Well, let's give the introduction.
Yeah,
first,
let's do it.
All right. So, hey, everybody in the studio right here, let's give it up for our brother, Busy Beats in the building.
What's up, everybody? What's good? Pleasure to be here, fellas. Pleasure to be here.
Hey, welcome, bro. Welcome. Appreciate you giving us the time, man. And, yo, even though it's been short time since we met, but it's been very impactful.
Appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, impactful.
Well said, bro. Super impactful.
Right?
Yeah. You super humble, bro. For everything that, you know, God has given you, bro, I see all your equipment. And I'm like, this dude is blessed, bro.
Blessed. Long time coming.
Yeah, facts.
I'm great, bro. Honestly, like you said, though.
Oh, shoot.
No, you're good.
Like you said, though, bro. Yeah, I'm blessed, bro. Blessed to be in this position. Blessed to be in another day. You know what I'm saying? God is good, bro.
Amen.
God is really good.
Amen to that. Well, let's get it in, bro, because we always run out of time.
Time flies, bro.
Time is quick. Doesn't last here.
Right.
So, man, tell us about your upbringing, where you're from, where you grew up, how you grew up. What was that?
I'm from a city called Colton, California, right? Born and raised over there. 10 freeway in between San Bernardino and Riverside. Like I said, I grew up there my whole life, born and raised, my parents, all that. My grandparents lived there, everybody. Coming up, you know what I'm saying? Came up like a lot of us Mexicans out there in the hood, friends with gangs, friends with, you know what I'm saying, older brothers in the gang, stuff like that. It was all around us. But early on, my path started in music. I felt like I was selected to be this, you know what I'm saying? And now I understand now because I'm a vessel, you know? And way back then, I started really finding music in bands. The beginning was my parents, you know what I'm saying? My parents showed me the way by just letting me listen to different things. I remember growing up, my mom was bumping oldies, bumping funk, you know what I'm saying? My pops, bumping rock. Bumping rock. Oh, my thing turned off.
I can still hear you, though.
Okay, check. I remember bumping rock and all these other things and just showing me different things. And then I had an older sister as well. She was like 6 years older than me, you know what I'm saying? And her showing me all these other different genres and things like that. And that really got me to set me on my path, you know what I'm saying? At a young age, I had very influential people in my life that showed me the right way and gave me tools, certain tools that I needed to get to where I was going. You know what I'm saying? And these tools were able to help build me up. Right off the bat, like when I turned 13, I remember seeing these, my homie had a guitar. He played guitar and he was my neighbor and he was really good, but I was just really intrigued by it, you know, really, really intrigued by it. And I knew that I wanted to do that. There was no other way, shape, or form, you know what I'm saying?
So I wanted
to do that.
Real quick, for you were surrounded by different genres of music, right? It's not like you were just bumping hip-hop or you just bumping rap or just bumping rock. So would you say that having that influence of different genres and Which genre would you say was your favorite one?
Honestly,
banda machos.
I think one of the things that makes me as successful as a producer is me being very well rounded, and there was so much good that it's hard to pick. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
like I have favorite songs and genres.
And like,
I have a favorite Spanish. I have a favorite funk. A favorite old. You know what I'm saying? But I'm so all over the place, but that's what made me. That's what made me different than other people. And I feel like early on, I didn't get that. It was just really like me trying to figure these things out. okay, yeah. What's that? Oh, what's that? And just being really curious, but also my parents, again, playing music, showing me things, and really just giving me, like I said, the tools for me to learn these different kinds of styles, different kinds of genres, and things like that. Nice. So early on, again, I was being bred to be very well-diverse, you know? And finding the guitar, that was my first instrument. Found the guitar, and my homie showed me the ropes. That was, like, the first thing that I was like, wow, music, right? But I'm a young kid. I'm, like, 13. It's, like, late 90s, you know what I'm saying? Early 90s, and I'm like, my homies are in gangs and stuff like that. They're brothers. Like, they're running amok, you know what I'm saying? Things are happening, and I see, like, as we get older, like, people start to make decisions and go down different paths, you know what I'm saying? I call him my guardian angel now because he is my guardian angel. Rest in peace, my best friend Raymond. He passed away when I was 20 years old, bro. He got shot in the head, gang violence, block away from my house, right? And but throughout my childhood, me and him were so close. And, like, we had this bond. Like, he was this other kind of person, gangster cholo, you know what I'm saying? But when he was with me, he was himself. And he just loved me, bro. Like, he loved me, but he protected me. He protected me, and he didn't let me get involved in any of these things. So that set me up to go on this path of, I'm not meant for all that. And I'm meant to do this other thing, you know? And I continued to follow the musical path. And he continued to tell me, when things like this would come around, nah, that's not BZ. He's in music. Like, that's his thing. He's not like that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was still kicking it with all these people doing these things. And that catapulted me, though, to explore more. Oh, yeah, this is me. I'm a rockero. You know what I'm saying? And I got into these band. I got into a band, my first band, when I was about 15, 16, right?
What type of music?
Huh?
What type of music?
It was rock. It was just
Nirvana?
I guess Nirvana. We didn't even know what we were at the time. It was just a mixture of what we liked and just, you know, we were messing around. But it was my first exposure to playing with other people and really having a little bit of structure. And with that, it was like, okay, now I got some structure. Like, what else can we do? But again, it's work. I was new. I was learning stuff like that, you know?
Bro, can I say something real quick? So when you play with a band, it opens a door to be creative with music. Hey, do this. Mm-hmm. Hey, do that. Let me do this after you do that. And it opens up, like, your mind for music, right? Mm-hmm. So when you were doing that, you said, this is the path that I'm going to take. But you didn't stick to rock music.
Oh, no.
Have you ever done a rock track?
I've done lots of music with the bands and stuff like that. And I continue to go through my years, you know what I'm saying? Like, in high school, like, I was in another band. And then after high school, it was another band and stuff like that. And coming up, and that was really what I thought it was going to be. I thought that was it. I thought I was going to be a rocker. I had my set. I was a bass player. I was set, bro. Like, I thought that was it, right? But again, having to come and get lots of people together, a band, is tough. Once you start to move on and things, you know what I'm saying? It's a group of people, so it only works if everybody's on the same page. So once things didn't work out, like, we were at a certain point where we were leveling up with the band, you know? And it just, everybody had different schedules. It just wasn't working out. But I sensed, like, okay, but this isn't it. Like, just because I can't get these people together, what? I know I could do something else. And I had a friend, another friend, again, influential person in my life. Another friend, my buddy Joey Webb. He kind of showed me the tools to start making my own beats. He gave me the knowledge, the little knowledge that he had and the knowledge that he had to say, hey, you don't need the band. And that just, oof. Man, bro, once I figured that out, and that first, I remember, I was on that Gateway computer, my parents' old computer, and, like, all I had was, like, Cakewalk. A lot of the people know Cakewalk that record, right?
Yeah.
Old school, right?
Cakewalk. Yeah.
I was getting loops from Looperman, putting them in, playing my guitar, my bass on them, and that's how I was making beats at the time, right? But I figured out that I didn't need anybody else, and I could only had to depend on myself. So from there, I was like, oh, say less, the sky's the limit. I don't have to depend on nobody no more. And I started just creating. And I had a couple things with my homie. I had some other rappers that I worked with, you know what I'm saying? And I was just building things. And then as time started to go on, I just really started to like dive deep into that. And I was like, wow, this is really what I want to do. You know, I was like, but I know there's more. I don't know. And at the time I was drinking. So throughout all this, I was young and I was drinking. So I thought I had it all figured out at that time. I thought everything in the book was set for me. Little did I know that there was, this was just the beginning, you know what I'm saying? So I come to a point where I'm playing all my beats, right? I'm making my beats, all this, that, and then I start getting these gigs.
How old were you during that time?
When it first started happening, I was 20, and it was shortly after my homie passed away, right? And it really just went down this whole rabbit hole of just, I got to find what I want to do, because life's too short, you know? And I really just dug deep. And again, that was like the first round of me digging deep and figuring it out. And that's where I met another homie, right? Showed me more beats, homie McGutter. And
shout out to Mr. McGutter.
Shout out to Mr. McGutter. But I have key people in my life, bro, that helped me, you know? And even just the knowledge they gave me, or the little tools that they gave me to help me, bro, I'm so forever grateful for that. Because without that, I wouldn't be where I'm at, you know? And he showed me, you need to play your beats in front of people. Like, not just the internet. You need to go to these beat showcases, and you need to perform your beats in front of people. So we started doing that. And Danger Beats is what we called it. We had a show, right? Now there's so many people that had went to that show that played, though. Shout out to all the homies, you know? And we started doing showcases, and I started performing. I had a guitar. I had an MPC, a piano. I was doing the most, bro. I was doing the most.
You were the one-man band.
I was the one-man band, bro. I was doing the most, though.
Bro, but that creates, bro, like, stability. It creates you, like, to get the beat, bro. You do all, if you're able to do all that.
100%.
And sing or rap or whatever. Yeah. Bro, that's some talent right there, bro. Oh,
and
shout
and
out to my people from Mexico. I playing the tambor and singing. And,
yep, the percussions, all that. It's not easy to do.
It's not easy.
Not easy to do, bro. It's a skill, you know what I'm saying? And then when that happened, he was like, it was great, right? Don't get me wrong, but we had a small spot where we're performing. He's like, bro, you know you really don't have to do all that, right? You could just bring a flash drive and just DJ. And I was like, what? What's DJing? Like, I knew what it was because my past, like, I've had records and stuff, but how am I going to DJ my set at the MP3? You know what I'm saying? And he was like, oh, no, I got you. Let me show you. This is how we do it. There's a flash computer. Boom, boom, boom. So the next one, I did it, and I DJ'd it. And I'll never forget, he was like, damn, bro, you're actually kind of good. And I was like, good at, like, all I did was a, and he was like, you're actually kind of good, bro. And that just went, oh, shoot. I think this is what it is. So I continued to make beats. I continued to build my craft up, you know what I'm saying? And I started DJing. So the DJing was for me, a way for me to get out and to like kind of like open up and to get my name out there, you know, but also get my beats heard as well. So I started working at this place in the downtown area in Riverside. And I was lucky enough to get a residency. I DJed there for about 10 years, bro.
What?
I ran that place, the most successful club in Riverside at the time, right? And yeah, we had lines out the door around the building every weekend. I had huge names go there, artists. Bro, I had everything. It was amazing. I built that from the ground up there, right? And I went to a very high level at that and was doing everything with that. But again, the whole time when I started that, I wanted more. I needed more. I feel like I was missing. I got to a point where I plateaued, and I was looking for everybody around me to teach me more. You know what I'm saying? I was like, who's going to teach me the rest of it? Nobody knew. And there was the guys that did know it, didn't want to give that information, you know?
The gatekeepers.
And that's what it was. So what did I do? I said, okay, where can I go find it? If I got to leave to find it, I'm going to go. So I went to school. Halfway through that DJ residency, I went to school, right?
School for what?
For DJing.
Okay.
I went to DJ Scratch Academy in L.A., Jam Master DJ Scratch Academy in L.A., right?
I didn't even know there was a school for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And this was before all the other DJ schools now. This is about 8 years ago. There's hundreds of schools now. Before all that big thing, there was only a few major schools, you know? And I went there and I just said, no, I'm going to do this. I want to do this professionally, and this is what I want to be, and this is what I want to do. But I said, I'm going to put the time in to be the best DJ I could possibly be now, and then I'm going to come back around and use that to place to showcase my music in a different light, you know what I'm saying? And then be the best producer that I'm going to be, that I could be, you know? So I went to school. I went to school there. I did that for a few years, DJ Scratch Academy LA. I graduated. I got all my certifications. Shout out to DJ Revolution, Mr. Chalk, DJ Hoppa, all those people that helped me along the way, you know what I'm saying? More key influential people, legends.
Those are big names, bro.
That I was able to train with, yeah, you know?
Those are big names.
And that, again, that catapulted me like, man, I got to see these guys at the highest level and train with them and learn from them hand in hand. And I was like, this is amazing. So I took every class there, everything. Those guys, it was like, man, VZ, you got every certificate on the wall. And it was amazing, bro. But after that, I said, okay, what's next? And I was never really, like, I tried going to school, like music school, like four-year college. I tried that. I went for a year. I don't know. I'm quick. I like the hands-on. I like the, you know what I'm saying? So I went to another trade school, a music production school, and I learned everything. Shout out to Beat Lab Academy, right? I trained under another person named Yuta Benatar. Look up Yuta Benatar. That guy is a legend. He created this. His fame, Call to Fame, is he created the Power Glove. You know the Nintendo Power Glove?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He made it a MIDI controller that you could make beats on and do things on.
Oh, wow.
This is how he got famous, right? Along with all these other crazy gadgets and stuff. But I was lucky enough to land in that school at the time that it was open, because it wasn't open for a long time. And, oh, man, that took me down this. It was basically an Ableton school. People that know the Ableton, the software. And I learned, it was beat making 101 from start to finish. And how to construct songs and how to really do it, right? That took me to another level that I didn't even know that I could get there, you know? But again, it was a journey. So throughout this time, I'm DJing still, doing my thing, but just really actively putting it all to work, you know?
Bro, you're saying all this like, oh, I got that certificate. Boom, I took another step. But I don't hear like, oh, I failed this class. It almost sounds like you got there, bro, and you were like, succeeding. Was that the case or no?
That was the case, bro.
Wow, bro.
Because I had so much experience already in the club. When I got there, I wasn't a beginner. But I wanted to be expert. So I'm sitting there like, okay, you guys think I'm good. That's great. But how could I be better?
Oh, okay.
How could I be better? I got to train with Mr. Chalk, DJ Revolution, the best. That's how I'm going to be better. Exactly. So that's what I did. I really took that in, bro. And I ran with that. Towards the end of that was just like, after I finished that school, it was like, okay, now I have a plan. I have the structure. And that's it. That's literally where I discovered what I wanted to do. It wasn't the first school. It was the second one that I pinpointed. And I remember the day we're making beats in class. And I was still trying to figure out my sound and what I wanted to do. What type of beats? Was I going to be EBM? Was I going to be dance? Was I going to be house? What was I going to be? I had all these ideas in the world, but I didn't know how to pinpoint it and harness it.
Let me ask you this real quick. Before I ask the question, it's like a lot of beat makers usually want to start off with the free software, you know, use just the keyboard and get a deal right away, you know, like hopefully be able to land the
big opportunity.
Yeah, like do a collab with a big artist and boom, catapult. And if it doesn't work in like a year or so, then they drop it. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, we've been in the game for a minute, and there's very rare producers that have the mindset. Where did you get that mindset, bro? Like to learn, to have that drive and to want more and perfect your craft.
Well, I might have skipped a part. I might have skipped a little part, a big part, now that I'm thinking about it. Before I got to school, after my homie died and passed away, right? Like I said, I was finding myself. Before I was actually that DJ, I was like probably about like 275 pounds.
What?
Overweight. I was an alcoholic, smoked cigarettes, packs a day. My life was on a downward spiral, bro. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I had
270 pounds, Miguel?
I was huge.
Bigger than Miguelito?
Yep. Big, bro. I was big. And I remember the exact day. My cousin, we were all at the bar partying. And I was DJing, but I was barely dabbling. Like, I didn't have the mindset yet. Like, I knew I was 1 foot in almost. You know what I'm saying? And he left. I was supposed to go with him. He got in a crazy car accident. Almost died. Wow. And I don't know. It just clicked, bro. It clicked in my head, like, bro, you're meant for more. But if you keep doing that, that's going to be you. None of this is ever going to happen in what you want. So literally, like, that, like, it was, like, days. And I just changed my life, bro. I said, nah, I'm going to get in shape. I'm going to change my life because I'm meant for more. And I started working out. And, bro, I lost all that weight. It took me a whole... I worked out. I literally ran my ASSS off, bro. Literally. I ran miles and miles and miles and just, like, tried to let go of the old me. Because I knew there was something more in me than I was meant for more. And that's where I got the drive.
When you said ASS, I was like, was that an association?
I didn't know if we were PG on the podcast. I got to keep it, you know?
You know how hard it is to lose that much weight? I've been trying my whole life, bro. I've been 200 since I was, like, 5.
This guy. It's not easy, bro. That gave me the drive, though. I found it. I found it, and I just never looked back, bro. And that catapulted me to want to go to school, want to keep going to school, and just I had this mindset that I just wanted to be the best DJ and music producer that I could be. And I didn't care about anybody else. I just wanted me to be the best that I could be, you know? And so when I went to that second school and I graduated, like I said, I had come to this spot where, like, we were making beats. And he's like, okay, cool, quick exercise. We're going to make a beat real quick, just construct something, right? And I remember I made a beat in like 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. It was like a Little Pump type beat. It was like 5 years ago, Little Pump type beat, right? And I was like, dang, that was like really easy right now. Like so easy. Like how did I just do that so fast? When I was working on all these other beats and I was taking forever and doing these things, I was like, all right, cool. Let me try this again. Let me try this one. Okay. And when I graduated school, I figured out what I wanted to do, that I need to make beats for people to rap on. When I was first making beats at these showcases, they weren't for people to rap on. They were musical because I was coming from the band. So then I pinpointed exactly the style I wanted to do. So let's make rap and trap beats, but we're going to do them new, West Coast stuff, but new. Everything new. Nothing old, just new. Let's go take it new. And I graduated school, and I said, okay, I'm going to get to the top. I'm going to get a number one record, and this is just the beginning, and we're going to make it. And I continued to just work. I got a studio, and I started to build my dream, you know? And the whole time I have this residency at this club, I end up moving upstairs and opening up a recording studio in downtown.
At the same spot?
Yeah, I was in the heart of downtown, and I had a recording studio at the best place. I was working, running the spot downstairs. And then at that time is when I got my first million. So when I worked, I remember it was a shout out to the homie YB. My cousin told me to send him the pack. You know what I'm saying? This time I was working with rappers. I'm working with rappers now, trying to get my beats out there. I've been grinding in the studio for about 3 years after my, you know what I'm saying, after I got out of the academy, the beatmaking academy. And it was time to start getting the beats out. Now, okay, I got beats. Let me start sending them out. What's the worst that's going to happen? Someone's going to get on it. And, shout out to my cousin, Mr. Savage. He plugged me with a lot of people. And one of the first ones he plugged me was the homie YB, YBE. Shout out to that homie. And that was when I got my first million, bro. He hit me one day. I wake up, and he's like, boom, this one's going crazy. I had sent him the beat pack a week before.
You mean 1 million, like 1 million views?
1 million views on YouTube. 1 million views on YouTube, bro. And again, I was starting my career and hoping for these things. And when I got there, it was like, wow, this is amazing. Like, I can't believe this is possible. You know, 1 million views, and it kept going. That one kept going. It's at like 20 million right now. I have multiple 1 million track songs. Like, other homies, too, started going up. And it just started catapulting, bro. And things started really taking off for me. And I was just, like, in this amazing position to just keep creating and keep building, right?
You said this happened 3 years after you opened your studio?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the type of things, people, that we need to keep in mind. Sometimes we have a desire or a vision, and we want it to be like next day, next month. No, if it's not in a year, it's not going to happen. And our brother right here, man, like, grinding for all that time and invested, right? You invested in yourself, because obviously the school wasn't free, I suppose.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Right? And you kept grinding, you kept pushing, but the reason why is because you believe in yourself, right?
Facts.
You believe in yourself, and you believe in the vision, that God-given vision, bro, because, I mean, I'm just amazed of your drive and your determination and the fact that you wanted to get your life right. You know what I mean? That's just a beautiful thing. So what's next? What happened after that?
It was a struggle, you know? I got to that point. I got all these plays. I got millions of views now, right? I'm popping. Everything's going great, right? And then...
Is there any money there?
Oh, yeah. There was money. I mean, you know, there was money to make everything happen at the time. And everything was flowing, and it was great. I was working with all these rappers. All these things were happening. But then that's when COVID hit. Then COVID hit, right?
19.
Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, things are changing. Something's happening. I can't work at this club now. There is no club. What am I doing? Okay, let's go all in the studio. Well, now I'm paying for a studio that I'm at the house all day. So it was time to reevaluate. So I got this opportunity. I was working with this rapper, and I got this opportunity, right? Just again, just not stopping and continuing to move forward, sending beats out, working with artists. And I got this opportunity to work in this session, and they hit me up. And it was a big session. It was in like Laguna or something. It was a nice studio. And I'm like, all right, we're in it now, right? And it ended up being... The guys that produced for him were producers for Usher, right? You guys were tied in. You guys are the world-famous Avila brothers, right? And I got this opportunity through that one thing, right? That one thing to basically intern with them. And they took me under their wing and basically helped to get me to the next level, you know? I ended up working in a session with Usher and Little John and their whole team for about 9 months, bro.
What?
I worked directly with them, their whole team, bro, at the biggest studios in LA, Westlake, Record Plant. Rest in peace, the Record Plant's not even there no more, bro. All the Michael Jackson studios, Mix Room. I got to work with some of the biggest artists in the world, bro. I got to work hand in hand with their engineers. I got to build with all these different people. And bro, I got to learn.
Bro, can I ask you, how does that work? Like, so you get invited, and do they say, hey, okay, move in the studio, see what you can do? Like, how does that, how do you guys be able to collab together? Because they're, you know, they're producers, you know, they know their stuff. Yep. Do they let you listen to their stuff and say, hey, what do you think about this? Like, how can you move on this? Or do they help, hey, bring out your stuff? Like, how does that work?
It was a learning experience. I was there selected because they saw it in me. And they seen that I had something that I could take and get and add to value, but that I had something that what now I know is what it is now, like where I got to get here, you know what I'm saying? But they seen it in me and they wanted to teach me. They knew I had what it takes and they wanted to help me to
show me the rope. So they wanted to add to you?
Yes.
Wow.
They really did, bro. I got the opportunity of a lifetime, bro. And, I'm forever grateful for that because that was my next schooling, my third thing. The thing that I was missing, I got from that. I remember the first day I walked in the studio, right? They said, yeah, you know Pro Tools, right? And I had just gotten out of Ableton school. I was doing everything in Ableton. Everything. And I said, oh, yeah. I know Pro Tools for sure. First thing I did, get on my phone and I was
Yeah, I know the
homie. Dang, I got to download it when I get. So I went on this rabbit hole.
I know the homie Pro Tools.
I know the homie Pro Tools. Exactly, exactly. I had to go down this rabbit hole to learn it, but that's what it was meant. The next part of my step in my journey, I had to master that because that's the industry standard. That's what I was missing in my sound. I was doing all these things, right? But I wasn't there yet. I was almost there. I had millions of plays, all these things. But I wasn't, my schooling wasn't finished.
You needed that little tweak.
I needed these little things. I needed to learn at the seat in a higher light and at the highest level to understand what it really was. And yeah, I was so fortunate enough to get that opportunity, bro. I mean, I had to work my butt off for it, but no money could have paid for that. No money could have paid for that. And towards the end of it, I was hit with a fork in the road. Easy. We want you to go here, come with us to Vegas, do all these things, right? We want you to help us with this or that, boom, boom, boom. But everything you're doing is going to be on hold. You know what I'm saying? And we got to work in the studio with them. We made an album. Have an album out with them. You know what I'm saying? The highest level. I have music all out. But the job was, at the end of it, you know what I'm saying, was for me to go and help them now.
What is it that you contribute to that project?
Oh, I was the guy that was in charge of setting all the stuff up, sound checking it, and making sure that everything was going to be good. So when they went there to get their parts down, you know what I'm saying, they were sending it out. I was the guy that was bringing in all the keyboards, that was setting up, that was getting all the things, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to put in the work, bro, to be in there. But I was also the guy sitting there helping them construct the beats and things like that. So I was in this unique position where I was, like, not a fly on the wall because I was helping. I was, like, I had hands-on, so I was, like, above the guys. It was a very unique.
Let me ask you this real quick.
Interesting.
How did you keep a humble mindset? Because it's very easy, and I'm sure you've seen it, where you're getting all these million plays, million views, and it didn't get to your head where it's like, oh, shoot, I'm the man now. Like, y'all got to mess with me now. Like, how was it that being at the top, for most people, you actually got an opportunity of a lifetime, and you humble yourself, and you literally became a servant?
Facts.
How were you able to maintain that humility and just submit to these higher end people, if you want to call it that,
and serve? I honestly, it's because I knew, I'd seen the bigger picture. I knew what I wanted, and I knew that these people could help me to get there. Now, whatever I had to go through, it had to be in me, but then that's where the fork in the road came in. My morals were tested, right? And there was a situation, right, where I had this chance to go and live my dream, but my morals were at stake.
Is this the Diddy part? Everybody's avoiding now.
No, not the Diddy part. Not those kind of morals. Not those kind of morals.
No, but you just know what?
Ethical morals. You but know what you I'm know saying? What?
But you know what? It's like a package deal, right? Like they maybe not morally, but they're like, hey, you're gonna put yourself to the side. Like all your wants, your dreams, we're going to put those on the side right now. You're going to help us build our dream. And yeah, their name was there. So you saw the name. You're like, oh, shoot, the opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, bro, I would go in there too, move teclados and guitarras and
whatever you got
to
do.
Bro, just whatever, just to get the experience and learn, see how you guys talk, how they move,
facts,
what buttons they're pressing, you know, just stuff like that. But it does take a moment of saying, hey, I'm going to run through this little, and then, but like you said, that fork, that moment saying, I'm breaking off right here.
So I remember that exact day, bro, because it came, they asked me to go, and I already knew the stakes at hand, right? But I had gotten really close to them, and I already knew it deeper. I knew it a little bit deeper than what was on the surface, you know? So what they were asking of me was too much, and I had the choice, okay, BZ, put your morals aside and go help them, even though it's not right. You know what I'm saying? Or take the long route. And yeah, it's going to be hard, but I know there's a light at the tunnel, bro. I know there is. And that night, bro, I remember it. They all left, and I sat there in the room by myself. Biggest studio in L.A.
Did you pray? Did you ask God?
I did. Because I didn't know what to do, bro. Because it was all the lights, all the shine, everything, the money, everything, bro. But in my heart, it wasn't right. And I remember that day I had, the thing that I had that was mine was my keyboard stand, my little stand, right? I remember I took that stand, put it in my backpack, and I said, you know what? Nah, I'm meant for so much more, dude.
Wow.
I'm meant for so much more. I'm willing to work for it because this is not right, bro. This is not right, and I want to do it the right way. And I had to go down this road where I seen them do everything that they said they were going to do. From the Super Bowl to these casinos to all these things, right? And I had to live with that. But then when I realized now what it is the fact is I was meant to do what I'm doing now. Because of the bigger picture, bro.
So when...
Bigger picture.
That part. So when they talk about selling your soul and the industry, you saw it for yourself. You experienced it for myself.
Yeah. I've seen it. They wanted me, bro. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. It wasn't in me. My parents raised me too right, bro. They raised me too right. And
bro, I met your parents, bro. Your parents are so cool, bro.
Oh, yeah.
So
your parents are awesome, man. Like... Your so moms, your mom. Pops.
Your dad got some super swag, bro.
Oh yeah,
I got Cadena? Swagged out.
I gotta get him for a photo shoot, bro. For real.
He reminds me of my tio. I don't know why, bro, but every time I see somebody, I feel like calling him tio.
My tio.
My tio.
And we talked about that. I remember you invited me to the studio. You're like, hey, bro, just come through. You know, let's chop it up. And we had a super dope conversation, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never worked with a producer where you just talk life and it just comes out organic, right? And we talk about your upbringing, like, your mom and your dad, you know, they're still together. You know, you had that foundation, right?
Lucky, bro. Lucky.
Well, highly blessed. And I truly believe it's that calling that God has on your life. And because you have that foundation, you know what I'm saying? And in our culture, bro, I mean, let me just throw this question out there. Like, how many homies around you had the same upbringing that you had?
None. Everybody was at my house because I had two parents.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and you don't see it back then, but everything happens for a reason. Like, I'm how I am is because, and I have structure because I have both of them. You know what I'm saying? And that a lot of people didn't have structure growing up. And again, that made them fall off certain ways. But for me, that structure really made me be who I really am, you know? And now I even understand that even more because I'm meant to be a leader.
Oh, let's go.
And that's the, you know, that's the whole reason all of this. I'm meant to be a leader. Yeah. And you have to be strong to be a leader, you know? Yeah. And my foundation is really strong. That's why I know I'm able to handle these things and be a really good leader, you know?
Facts.
And it's a struggle. But getting to that point, man, it's like you realize that all that happened for a reason, you know?
Well, no, nobody said it was easy. And doing the right thing is always going to be the harder thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like for you... to not sell your soul. And just to make it clear for y'all, selling your soul is not like you sign it with blood. And
yes,
and
it is.
No, it was like a little less. There was a feather. There was a, just to, you know, dab the blood. It was not as done as done.
No, but selling your soul is literally giving away your mind. And
your integrity,
and
bro.
Integrity, like giving away everything for that position, you know, to have that shine. I mean, Super Bowls and casinos, I mean, who doesn't want to do all that?
I think yo era caído. You know what I mean?
That's
and
why
I would have been blinded by the light, mijo.
And going through it and having to go through that, bro.
Super Bowl.
Because I had to go through, after it happened, I had to go through this time where I had to live with my decision. I had to live with this and watch everything happen and continue to grind because I knew there was a light at the end of the tunnel. I knew it, bro. Something, like, when times got low, I knew I had to keep going, dude. I knew it. It's just so in me that I couldn't let it go, you know? And, yeah, it was about, 3 years, but 2019, what happened? 2019, 2020, 2021, it was like 3 years, right? I had to live with that decision. And I basically had to go back down to square one and start all over. Because I was already up here. I already had made this perception I was here. And I was. Everything was about to happen. But then I had to come back down to here. And then I had to live with all those decisions. And it was tough, bro. It was very tough. But I had to dig very, very, very deep to get to where I was at. And through the line, again, key influential people. Shout out to my bro, Jarez, my reggaeton artist, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I was at the end of my road when me and him linked up. And same with him. And we brought the light back out of each other, bro. And we made beautiful music, bro. And it's like, it's those things that made me realize why everything happened. And it started to unfold again because I started to believe, like almost lost the belief because it went. It's tough going back down, having to come back, swim out the mud. Dude, it's tough. But again, I didn't lose it. It was there. The flame was shining. It was getting lower and lower, but it was still there. And the linking up with my brother, like, started bringing back out, and we came up with this plan. And then, shoot, then I my brother Dave, right here, Smalls, shout out to Magoo, introduced me to Milo. And, yeah, we came up with a plan to bring me out here. And I had been planning it, bro. I had been planning it. It just wasn't happening. I told him, like, you know what I'm saying? I had everything where I was at in my hood. My old place.
You were still in Riverside?
Still, I was in Colton at the time, living in Colton. I had my house, big old house, studio at the house, everything I needed, a live room. Like, I had everything, bro. But I had no community. I had no people around me. I had nobody to bring it out of me and to, like, I had nobody to grow with. And my brother Jarez started, you know, coming around. And like I said, we put our all into this music and not knowing what was going to happen to it. And the plans to come here and let God take its course.
Bro, so what happened when you spoke to Milo?
Oh, man.
For the first time.
Me and Milo had been kind of following each other from the internet. Because Por Vida, I would come here with my parents. They moved out here about 5 years ago. My sister moved out of here about like 8 years ago. And I would come out to Por Vida. I mean, this is the staple. I would come out here and I would get coffee. And, oh, they started to know them. My sister knew a lot of people. And then I remember we went to the collab one day, and we were just talking about it. I remember I was not going to get off the car. I was not. I was, because he was going to go give Dylan something. I wasn't going to get off the car. I was like, just go do it, bro. I got off the car, and I ran into Milo, and Milo was like, oh, what's up, bro? I was like, yeah, I'm planning on moving out here, bro. Hopefully I can get a spot, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, say less, bro. I got a bunch of spots for you. Where? Let me know. And then, yeah. Brought me over here, and it was like destiny, bro. It was destiny. And he, you know, gave me a space, and from there it was like, wow, I have a plan now. So this was 6 months before, right? So that last 6 months was probably the hardest part of my life because I was on the way out, but I was like, we were preparing for the next things, right? But there was nothing there. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, I was at a low point, but the light in me was still burning, and certain people were bringing it out, but I was just going through the motions because I wanted to get to that next. I knew. It's like this was the promised land. And, yeah, I made it through, bro. My parents said, if you can wait 6 months, we'll make it work, all of us together. Because we had to sell our house. We had to do all these things, bro. Like, I was, like, ready to go all in. And I was like, okay, we're going to do this again. We're going to do it right. I'm going to go all in. I'm going to open up a studio and I'm going to go all in. I'm not going to look back. And that's what I did. Moved here, bro. Opened up the beat den. And we didn't stop. We started from scratch, from nothing, from drywall. And now I got a recording studio, one of the dopest in San Diego. And now we're building. I got huge artists in there that I've had. I got so many people I'm working with. And I'm blessed to have an amazing team. I just dropped the album.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Keys to the City, Volume 1. Shout out to that. You guys already know. Find us on all platforms.
Bro, I've been here my whole life, bro. I don't have the keys to the city, bro. Why can't you get the keys so fast?
Honestly, bro. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
How all this stuff was happening, right? And I was like, man, this is everything, all these people around me. But then I really noticed that it was the change in me. Like, I came out here to be a better person, and I came out here to do it again, but in a better way, and not how it was in the big studio. Bring that knowledge back from LA and everything I learned and everything I honed in on and perfected, bring it to here, but do business the right way. And that's really what I pride myself off of my business, you know? It's just really good business and professionalism, man.
Yes.
The right way, you know?
How's the that you're not distracted, bro. Yeah, I like that from you, bro. And you're not distracted. I know it's tough.
How's the experience been so far?
Amazing. I've only been here 4 months, bro. I feel like I've been here all my life.
I know, you talk to everybody like you've been here forever.
The community is amazing here, bro.
San Diego, shout out.
Shout out to San Diego for showing your boy love, man. Like, you already know. Look here, I'm an LA fan. You already know, but you guys got me loving the city out here.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what it is, though, bro. Like, having that community and those people around, like, that's what I was missing. You know, and now I got my brothers. I got Jarez here, came and made it with me. You know what I'm saying? I got my boy 3D. I got Low Versus. I got B-Rel, Dom. I got freaking Johnny Walsh. Like, I got all my brothers. I got F-Sir. You know what I'm saying? I got all my brothers, like, people that are, like, actual good people that I'm building with now, bro.
Call me good, bro. Gracias. And that's the part, man, where what really sticks out of you, besides the talent, is that humbleness.
100%.
You know, because my boy right here was telling me that our brother's from
Colombia. No. From Washington. Armando Don, my friend came down.
Oh, yeah, your homies. Yeah. They were cool, very cool.
Bro showed up. Bro, he was leaving.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, let me show you some stuff.
Yeah.
And you know what, my friend? That's the perfect guy to talk to, bro. He's a musician, bro.
Yeah.
Armando, he's a musician, bro. And he can play all types. You know Armando's talented, bro. He can sing, do reggaeton. He's been doing reggaeton for a minute. But for you to open up your spot, I got time. Your mom right there. Tu papá cleaning his cadena.
You know what I mean? You know, he's like, always fit.
And you know what? And the thing is, man, the way when my mom was here, the way you greeted my mom, you know what I mean? Just stuff like that where, you know, I see what God is doing, bro. And I think you've always had it. Like you said, God's always made you make those choices. Bro, my friend was murdered too. And I could have been with them right there.
Facts.
Bro, and God has put me in situations, bro, where he's gotten me out and I've noticed. And that's what you said, bro. I was going to go there, and I didn't go. Like, I noticed God put me in a different... You know what I mean? That's fire, bro.
Well, the fact that your boy protected you
to
go to that path, I don't see anything else than being all God. Because God uses anybody, bro. And that's the thing. That's something that I always want to make clear. Like, we don't practice a religion. You know what I'm saying? Like, we serve a God who created the entire universe, who created every single human being with a gift, with a talent, with a purpose. The thing is that we stray away because, you know, I mean, let's keep it 100, bro. The devil controls this world, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he runs this world. He doesn't control it, but he runs it. Like, it's his system. And you saw it firsthand. Like, he tried to pull you into that system. try to take you away from the calling that God has in your life, because now you're working with artists who are in the faith, mm-hmm. who are walking in Christ. So how has that experience been? Like,
yeah, how do you feel?
So much more better feeling, man. Like I said, all my brothers that I'm working with, it doesn't feel like work. We're having fun, bro.
We're having fun.
It's the time of my life. Like I said, like, just so blessed to be in this situation and be able to just, you know, be free like that. And, yeah, God is good, bro. I've gotten to this point where it's like, if it doesn't, like, suit me, give me joy, then why am I doing it? What am I doing it for? Yeah. Like, what all the other stuff, what is all that about, you know? I got myself to this point, and, like, my main thing is, like, I just want to just get back and help people, and show them that it's possible. But if I could get here, you could get here too, you know? It's just, you know, you got to dig deep, though. You got to dig deep. Get out that hole, you know? Sometimes that hole is really, really deep, but there's a way out, though. There's always a way out. But you have to really, really, really want it, you know?
That's good. And that's the thing, man. Like, you hear entrepreneurs all the time where they invest a lot of money, obviously time, energy in a business. It crashes, right? But now they have a brand new opportunity because now they got all the knowledge.
Yep.
To go through the whole beginning, the whole genesis of whatever project or whatever business, and then they're going to build from the startup. And now you have that. You know, now you have all the knowledge, the skill set to do that. And not just that, but the mindset, bro, and you're that desire of having that community, like God was like, okay, you want this, son? Here you go. Boom.
I needed it, bro. I needed it. But again, that's being around the right people is that how, like, you say, having the right soil, you're able to blossom. And that's, I feel like what's happened here, that I've always had it in me, but I had to harness it. You know what I'm saying? And where I was, it wasn't bringing it out of me. Because coming here, I had to dig deep to get, you know, to be where I'm at too as well. It's all been a struggle, everything. And then continuing to work, continuing to do it. But now I see it, and then I see the old me as in the past. And this new me that can control that. You know what I'm saying? And it's beautiful, bro. It's beautiful.
Well, you got to be in the right environment. Like you said, the soil, right? You got to sow the seed at the right soil so it can flourish. So God took you from where you was at and now put you right here in the right soil where you're going to flourish. You know what I mean? And something that you said when we had that conversation at the studio is you said you were open. And that hit me, bro, because I was like, yo. Because not a lot of people are open, even people in the faith, bro. And I'm not talking mess about our brothers and sisters, but let's keep it real. Not a lot of people are open.
I didn't grow
like
up
that.
Christian.
Yeah.
I didn't grow up Christian. I became Christian as an adult.
I grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
I grew up Catholic. But I'm open right now. Like, I've been, just this new experience coming here, I've been so open. Like you said, like I told you, like, I've been an open book, and it's done wonders for me. But I'm like, I want to open up more because what else is possible? You know what I'm saying?
And like you're opening up to God, bro.
That's what it is, though. And I'm opening, like I said, I'm opening up, and it's like you're giving me all these blessings, and it's just beautiful.
Bro. And it's cool that you don't panic, bro. You don't panic, like, because there's a lot of people that can move in different circles, and they panic. Oh, this is not like I'm, you know, these are not the people I'm supposed to be surrounded by. Like, oh, I don't feel right, you know, because. I had the, bro, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I had nobody fed me the Bible, bro. Nobody talked about prayer in my house. You know, brujeria, you know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. Ideas, you know what I mean? And when God came as a relationship, not as a statue or whatever, but as a relationship, Jesus is all about relationships. When he would meet people, it was one-on-one relationships. Let me get to know you. Let me hang out with you.
and that Jesus was not shaken by it. Like, God is not shaken by our past. And he gives us this opportunity. Bro, when Milo told us, hey, you know, Busy Beats, I'm like, who's Busy Beats? Oh, bro, he's going to be down here, bro. And he's talking about all these changes. And, hey, bro, he's already building the studio. Remember he told us when we did the podcast with him? Bro, and you're here now. Mita?
Right? I'm flies, bro.
I'm flies, bro.
Yeah, bro.
We have 15 more minutes.
15 more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we go to the...
Let's go to the five yastas, bro. Put on the... Oh, what?
No. Well, we'll talk about the project, Keys into the City, to wrap it up.
Yeah, at the end. Yeah.
But my boy here always has the five yastas.
Five yastas questions.
Let's do it.
They're super random, okay? But I'm ready. We got some food questions, some culture questions.
Love it.
So we're going to be doing... Let's see here.
Only if they're vegetarian food questions, though.
You're vegetarian?
Yeah.
Okay.
But don't tell nobody I ate that cookie right now.
I don't know. Yeah, it was. What is vegetarian? What does it mean, bro?
There's no
meat. Dairy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Not vegan, but no meat. But yeah. I'm sure there wasn't.
Yeah, I was vegan for like a long time, for like 5 years.
Okay.
But coming here, I'm vegetarian now.
Cool.
You know, lenient vegetarian.
Bro, you're on that health journey, right?
I've been on since way back then. I never really stopped.
Bro, you got pictures of that 270?
I do, actually.
I need to see one.
I'm going to show you. You wouldn't even wreck me. I was like the dude that ate me. For sure. And I had a beer and a cigarette in my hand.
You came out.
Beer
gets
you fat up. Beer gets you fat, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was those wheat beers.
Oh. All right, question number one, bro. So we know that music has a big impact, right? Mm-hmm. What is one song that takes you to a moment or a situation that when you hear, you're like, shoot, it takes me there. Mm. It takes me to that moment. It can be any song that takes you to that place where anywhere that you hear that song, you're like, dang, that reminds me of when I was a kid or whatever. What song?
This song, Benny Siegel, Feeling in the Air.
Ooh, what song is that?
That song is fire, yo.
I can feel it in the air.
That was my homie's favorite song, Rest in Peace. Every time I hear that song, it takes me right back, like right back there, bro. Like, it like bring a tear to my eyes. You know what I'm saying? When I hear that song.
Yeah.
Because it was such a special time in my life. And that was such a special person to me, you know? And without him, I wouldn't even have, who knows what path I would have went on, you know?
Mm.
That song is very special.
Yeah,
that's a dope track too, man. It's like it's got that, that emotion that
it just, does. It just has that, like, I don't know, like
that sample, right?
Yeah,
it's just like
Phil Collins.
Yeah,
Feel It in the Air.
Bro, are you ever shocked when you hear a sample? And you're like, dang, they got that from that. You ever get shocked?
Oh yeah, I went down the rabbit hole of being a DJ. I have every sample, every record. Like I know how they were made. I know how they did that. Where they got that one from. What's that? Oh, that's that piece from that.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot like that, though, that are like, what? That was from that? And then I have to go and, oh, that is from that.
Can you replicate anything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
A little spoiler, but, you know, Busy and I, we worked on this joint, and Lil Uno jumped on it, too. And my boy flipped. I didn't even know where he got that sample from. When he told me, I was like, there's no way, bro. Like, you flipped that thing. Like, you transformed it.
Facts. That's my thing, though. I like to bring things into 2024.
Mm. That's how you're like.
And then I also like to bring things out of artists that they haven't done before. I like to take them out of their comfort zone.
Okay.
Because essentially, that's the only way you grow. Getting out of your comfort zone. That's the only reason I grew and I'm in the position I am right now, because I got out of there. I got real uncomfortable to get comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Got real uncomfortable to get comfortable. What about you, bro? What song takes you to a moment?
Man, the one that comes right to my head is California Love, man.
With Tupac?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It takes me back into Ensenada. You know, that's where I'm from. It takes me back to La Primera. You know, that's the cruising street. bumper to bumper, you know, just... going super slow.
Yeah, that song on repeat?
Oh, bro, every single car was bumping it. Oh. Every car.
Everywhere.
Like, that joint was... Every single car, you just hear... You couldn't even hear the track clearly because every car was bumping it. Obviously, it's a different timing. So, but you know, it was like everybody was. It was a good time, man. I mean, it was, you know, it was fights and all that because you know some dude just mad dogs you and you start tripping. It's like, wait, come on, ass. You know,
that was strong, nostalgic.
Oh yeah,
bro. I thought you guys were gonna mention like a love song, bro. Bro, you know what song? Was it Montel Jordan? What's that one song, that love song he wrote? This girl broke my heart, bro. You know, I'm tan gordito, bro. You know, you get heartbroken all of a sudden when you're chunky.
I feel it.
And every time that song would come on, bro, I was like, I'll play it hard. Like, I'm not going to remember, but certain parts of the song, you're like, dang,
took me back.
Yeah, it takes me back. All right, question number two. What inspires you when you're not, bro, inspired?
Good question. Very good question. Honestly, my work ethic, that's...
Like the history of work that you've done, like, okay, I've been through this battle. Like running, right? When you're about to hit that mile, like, you're almost giving up. You're like, wait a minute, but I've done this mile.
Pushing through it,
okay. 100%.
Like, a lot of times my best beats happen when I didn't want to make beats.
Yeah, bro, that works.
Like, when I wasn't going to go in the studio and make beats, but I knew... Inside, I had to force myself to do it. And those are how the best things have happened to me.
Maybe I should become vegan, bro, because I do not want to become vegan, bro.
Telling everybody, you know what I'm saying? Vegetarian, vegan, it's tacos, different life.
Give them up.
We a different breed, you know? If we take our vitamins, we're a different breed. If not, we're going to be falling asleep or something.
So it's the work, it's the history of your work ethic inspires you. Like, I pushed so hard to be here. I need to get up.
Mm-hmm.
I need to move.
Because this could be the one. It's going to change my life.
Okay.
Or that's going to get me to that next step that's going to change my life. You know what I'm saying? And it's always been that. Nah, BZ. You're going to do that or you're going to do this? Are you going to go hang out or are you going to go in the studio?
Yeah.
Are you going to go this or that? What is it?
Because the invites are there, right?
Always. See? Invites will always be there, though. That's what people forget.
Okay.
See the invites, Chris? Are always there. They're always going to invite you to the party. They're always going to want you to go waste your time. No one's going to go make you be successful but yourself. And that's the truth, though.
24/7.
That's why we about to take over, though, because I got a bunch of people behind me that are the same as me and that understand it.
They want to push.
That want it just as bad and understand how hard it is to get there, you know?
You want
to
work with people that want to work.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's tough. You got to search. I had to come to San Diego to find them. Facts. You know what I'm saying? So this is, you know, what it is. Part of the journey, though. And my journey's not even over yet. This
it's not. Any. You're young.
But now I'm finally in a place where I know I'm meant to be. And, yeah, it's amazing. I'm so grateful, dude. I just want to be better, you know? That's it.
All right, question number three. Question number three. What artist? Now, let's go to the food. Okay, what's your favorite mama food, bro?
Oh.
That you're like, oh, my mom. Oh,
my mom makes the bombest green chili vegetarian enchiladas.
Okay.
Yes, bro. Like.
What she put inside the chilada, though?
Oh, so it's papa? Like, it's, well, sometimes she'll put papas, but we do this like the vegan meat, like the crumble.
Okay.
Fire.
Fire?
Unbelievable.
Sour cream best. Or no sour cream?
Vegan sour cream.
Okay. Yeah, there's vegan everything,
vegan
bro.
Cheese, everything.
I think you'll trick me, bro. You'll be like, hey, bro, I got
I'll trick
cheese,
everybody, bro.
I got a cheeseburger.
If I set you guys down and put you some food in front of you guys, will be like, no way.
I know.
No way. There's no way that this is.
Here's my vegan pozole.
Hey, I've had some fire vegan pozole, bro.
Bro, there's really good. You just got to go search for it, though.
Yeah.
Because not everybody has a good palate that's vegan, you know?
That's
bro, what's your favorite mama plate? Like, you're like, oh, my mom got this on point.
Lasagna, bro.
Lasagna.
And she makes vegan or vegetarian lasagna, too, with
all of a sudden, everybody's vegan now.
No, I'm not saying I am, but yeah. she can make it, though. Because she makes, when she does, she makes two. And she hasn't made it for a minute. But, yeah, her lasagna, bro, picole.
Fire.
Bro, you're gonna say this is weird, but my mom makes, like, the most bomb encebollado chicken and rice, bro. That's all it is. But the chicken has some that juice, bro.
Not gonna happen.
Already asked you, bro. Okay, question number four. What artist, dead or alive, would you like to work with?
Oh.
Yeah.
Great question. This is a great question.
Anybody. It can be Elvis, like, yo, Elvis, Bob Marley.
Oh.
It could be a lot of people. Just want to open
up.
Los Tucanes de Tijuana, whatever you want. That the opportunity was there. You'd be like, hey,
Belinda.
You know Belinda? Old
Jimi Hendrix.
Jimi Hendrix with the guitar.
One of my first idols, for sure. Him and Bob Marley, but Jimi Hendrix, like, opened up my ears a lot at a young age, too. I didn't even know what it was, you know? That for sure is one artist that I would, you know what I'm saying? And then, like, modern day, I feel like I would love to work with Kendrick or Cole one day. You know what I'm saying? One of them. One of the real ones.
Hey, we declare it in Jesus' name, bro.
You know?
Hey, bro, for sure Kendrick got that battle, huh?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh,
for sure.
Bro.
He killed him off.
Yeah.
Good for us, though. Good for the West Coast. We needed that.
West, yo.
Bro, no. At least, like, once a month, I get told that I look like Drake, bro. Like a sad Drake.
What did they say? What was his name? Al Poppy? Or what is it? Champagne Poppy? What they were like, what did they call him?
Who's that guy?
They were saying something about the lookalike Drake.
Oh, yeah, I see him. He's there. Yeah. All right, last question, because we're running out of time. We always run out of time. Bro, check this out, bro. Psalm 138. We always do a Bible question. It says, the Lord is great, and he cares for the humble, and he keeps at a distance the proud. Okay? What does that Bible verse mean to you? There's no wrong answer. So it says, God takes care, God is great, and he cares for the humble, and the proud he sees from a distance.
I feel like it's a lot how it is here. This place has kept me safe and has kept the wrong people out and the right people in. I feel like that's God's doing the same thing, you know what I'm saying? All the humble people being together, but we don't need to bring those other people around. They could have their own way. They could be outside. They don't need to be within our circle. And I feel like that's what it is. But it's protection, you know? He's protecting the humble.
Seeing that, you know, the Bible says that the proudful always says there's no God. There's no God. God is fake. This is all us. But at the end of the day, bro, at the end of the day, when it's, bro, our powers are so limited, bro. We're running off of day by day fuel. One day you're in a good mood, another day you're not. And we are just, we're living on that. And to know that there's somebody over us, watching us, giving us strength, bro. You know, and then for him to say prideful, you know, it's because, you know, that heart is hard, right? Prideful person's, you know.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Man, I love that verse because it doesn't say, oh, the religious, he cares for the religious ones.
He's humble.
You know, it doesn't name any religion in particular. I don't want to throw names out there. But he cares for the humble ones, right? Because it's a heart posture with God, bro.
Heart posture.
You know, it's not heart about condition. It's not about what you perform, your activities, what you say. You know, it's where your heart is at.
Where your heart is at.
You know, and like, what we got going on with you, bro, is that's all humbleness. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I got time for that little podcast. Imagine.
Sheesh.
I ain't got time for little dudes over there. Forget Chris. You know what I mean? But he's like, nah, let me go in there. Let's see what we got. Yeah. I want to share my moments. I want to get to know these dudes more.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you guys again.
No, thank you.
Beautiful, bro.
Thank you for blessing us. And, man, keys to the city, yo. Like,
yeah, man. Shout out to that.
Within 4 months, I came here and got the keys to the city.
Hey, Hey, well no deserved.
No pun intended.
Though.
No pun intended.
Well deserved, though. But, have you caught any backlash for that? Or
no, it's just fun. You know what I'm saying? It's not a literal thing for me. It's just me finally getting my space in the place, you know?
Yeah.
And just having all these great people around me that are giving me opportunity.
Nice.
That's really what it is to me. And me essentially giving it back, you know? Giving back and just being part of just being open. And part of being open. But Keys to the City, again, just dropped last Friday. Keys to the City Volume 1. We got a bunch more volumes coming. Got me and my brothers on it. Jadez, 3D, Low Versus, B-Rail Dom, and Johnny Walsh. And, yeah, this is the first of many to come. We've just been dropping music videos. We've been planning this rollout. This is, we got 3 more music videos to do. Shout out to 24/7 Creative. You know what I'm saying? My boys, we killing it. We're coming for it. We're working on a lot of big things right now. And this is just the beginning of the rollout. Our style is the beginning of the press tour. So, nice. Again, thank you guys for having me. But man. Keys to the City, this is the beginning of the promotion. You guys are going to know every song on that album by heart. I promise y'all.
Bunch of heaters.
We're going to have those number ones.
Yeah.
Speaking it to into existence. That's just what it is. We got everything we need. And, again, we're all great people. We deserve it.
Yeah. Oh, bro, the way you said that, like, everybody's going to know Volume 1 by heart. That's fire, bro.
It's just a bunch of heaters, yo. Like, these are all... This is that joint that you play from beginning to end, and you don't skip no track. You, like, bump into every single one.
You're already getting ready for Volume 2?
Honestly, right now, Volume 2 is already done, but...
Dang.
We're like, way ahead of the game, but right now the goal is we're just focusing on getting it to the masses.
Yeah.
That's the real goal. Really utilizing these songs to set the base and kind of set use me at the forefront to be able to put everybody else out, you know? And who knows when the next volume, the Volume 2 is going to come? Could be sooner, it could be later. But in between that, we got so many things going, so many things going. But right now, we're just trying to get the awareness out to everybody about it. Let them know that we got those fire product that everybody needs to hear, you know? And it's been an amazing response. Like I said, I've already appreciate all the support that everybody's been giving me. Like, we're blessed right now. But like I said, what's next, you know? What's the next level? That's what I want to get to. That's what I'm getting to. That next level, those big levels. Like, I want a Grammy. Like, I already have a space for it. I know where it's going. I'm going to get that. It's just a matter of time, you know? All these things are just a matter of time.
Damn, that believe,
dang,
bro.
You said Grammy, bro. That's the first person I know in my life, bro. I said, I'm going to get a Grammy.
And the only reason I'm able to say that is because I was like, bred for this. Like I said, I was hand-selected. 100%. I've held Grammys. I've got to harness that energy. I know exactly what I want and what I deserve. But again, if you don't stick in there and hold through and follow through with all your plans and give up early, you ain't even ever going to get close to that, you know? So it's just keeping consistent. Again, keep my head up, staying focused, and looking at those bigger goals, you know, that they say aren't attainable. They are attainable, though. We just got to put in the work, you know?
When I see you up there, I'm like, my Mexicanos up there.
I'm going to cry.
Keys to the City made it.
Facts, bro.
Well, y'all got to check out Keys to the City Volume 1, and it's all the digital platforms where they can follow you.
Oh, follow me all across the board, at BZ Beats, Instagram,
How do you spell Twitter? Busy?
B-E-A-Z-I-E. B-E-A-Z-I-E and then Beats. B-E-A-T-S. All we'll across tag the board. It. Make sure to follow my management company, Monarch Management SD. My boy Smalls, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to
Mogu. Make sure to follow the crew, 24/7 Creative. And also make sure to follow the B-Den SD.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But we going up, man. This is just the beginning. Glad that I could, you know, talk to you guys and...
Fire,
you know, have some fun. This is great, bro. This is great.
This is part of the community, right? Like, it's our boys behind the cams right here in the production.
24/7.
You know, it's them behind the video shoots and all that. So that's the beautiful thing of what's going on here. You know what I'm saying? We're just collaborating. We're coming together. And we're just putting out content, beautiful content. And there you go. So that being said, yo, make sure y'all subscribe. give us a like, drop a comment, follow our boy Busy. You gotta, you know, download the tracks. You gotta bump that thing. Share it with your friends because it's gonna bless your ear.
And if you guys want to know who Chris is, if you do a comment, we'll share a pic. All right?
Facts, facts. All right, y'all. So we'll see you the next time. Same channel, same time. God bless y'all, and we out. Peace. Hey. Familia parece gorila intoxicado con tequila.